Welcome in, everyone, to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. I hope you had a wonderful holiday weekend or holiday if you're celebrating the holiday. Today on the show, we are going to deep dive some questions about passive income and financing and expanding your portfolio of rental properties. So what we aim to do on this show is make you a more intelligent real estate investor. And one way I believe that we can learn so much is by listening to other people's questions. And so that's what today's Q&A episode is all about. You get to call in, leave a voicemail question, and we answer it here on the show. The way to do that is to go to our website, go to morrisinvest.com, M-O-R-R-I-S, invest.com. And there's a microphone button on the right side of the screen. Just click that and you can leave us a 30-second voicemail question and we'll play it here on the show. Hey, I should also mention while you're on the website, I received an email from someone last night, really touching email, and said, hey, Clayton, I've been following Morris Invest and what you've been doing here for a couple of years. We've been able to reach financial freedom. We acquired a number of rental properties. The cash flow is there and I just want to thank you. And I was very touched by that, but hey, I want to thank you for taking action. It's not me. We just gave you the tools and you went out and did it. And one of the things you talked about was hitting your freedom number. So while you're over on our website, we have a free download that I want you all to go and download right now. It's morrisinvest.com/freedom. It's our freedom cheat sheet. It's like 3 pages long. And what it'll do is it'll help you figure out what your financial freedom number is. Okay. What monthly amount of money do you need to live financially free within your family? And so we teach you how to do this in this PDF. Again, it's totally free. Go download it. You know, how much do you need to live on with your family? And don't just guess at it. We walk you through how to find this number. So I would encourage you all to go and grab that download. It's free and it could change your life like it did for me. Because after all, that's what I based it on, like how we were able to change our lives through passive income. Okay, we've got 3 questions. And our first one here is up first. Get that, right? Our first question is up first. I'm glad our first question doesn't come second. Oh boy, it's been a long weekend. Here you go.
Hey, Clayton, I've been listening to your YouTube channel for many years now. Great content. I have a question for you. I bought 6 rental properties in cash, and then I did a first lien HELOC on each just to be used as an emergency funds. The APR is about 3 to 5%. I am planning to use these funds towards the next rental property purchase. Since the Fed is raising interest rates 6 times this year in 2022, what would you recommend me to do with the HELOCs since they are all variable? My original plan was to use the variable rate HELOC to buy the next rental property in cash. Once tenant moves in, I can do another HELOC on it and then repay the other 6 HELOCs back. Do you see any other strategies that is better than this? How would you do it differently? Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Great, great question. And there's a lot to unpack there. So first, let me just say, I personally, the idea of buying one property outright for cash, I know it seems sexy, but wouldn't it be amazing if you could buy 4 properties, right? Just by placing those as down payments and acquiring 4 properties or 5 properties with that amount of money. Then you're at, because remember the 3 stages of real estate investing, buy, own, and cash flow. So it sounds like you're in a stage right now where you don't really need that cash flow, right? If you're able to make these purchases with cash, it seems like you're doing okay in that regard. And I don't want to make assumptions, but again, the 3 stages, you want to acquire as many properties as you can, leverage using other people's money. As long as you're not over leveraged, you need to be smart with your risk tolerance. Of course, it's all every, you know, your mileage may vary, but wouldn't it be great if you could take that, those, some of those HELOC positions and use that as down payments and then use the bank's money for the other portion of it, the other 80%, right? So you're putting down 20%. I just think you could grab like 5 properties that way. And then have the bank carry the rest of that. That would be the way that I personally would do it. But again, to each his or her own. And I started out by buying my properties for cash. But then I realized you quickly start running out of cash, right? And so then you have to rely on other sources. So if you have cash, make it go further and keep more of your own cash in your pocket. You know, I want to say this actually. I've been thinking a lot about this, about the idea of cash is trash. And I really don't believe that anymore. I've been thinking a lot about it. And I think what a lot of these like global elites really are pushing us towards is away from paper and coin currency into a like a centralized digital currency. You heard that at the World Economic Forum this week. more pushing, they probably within the next 3 years, a global digital currency. A number of people that I have a lot of respect for are absolutely saying the opposite, like keeping your hands in cash, keeping some, you're making purchases in cash, putting that money, keeping it in a bank, keeping it in a vault, keeping some of that money on hand is actually not a bad thing. We've been sort of lied to, I think, in many ways about cash is trash, because even during the pandemic, they were like, don't use cash. It's dirty. You'll get coronavirus when you touch it. You know, like literally they said that. Use contactless payments. Move to a digital environment. Why? It's all about control, right? It's all about control. And not to go conspiratorial here, but it truly is, you know, like, and the funny thing about conspiracy theories is that they are just spoiler alerts, right? 6 months later, they always come true. So again, having your own cash and keeping it in your bank and in your pocket and in your vault or whatever you keep it, gold, silver. And I'm not saying cash as in like US tender. I'm saying gold, silver, physical cash in that way, you know, physical money. Absolutely want to keep that on hand, keep more of it and use the bank's money. So what I'm saying is try to leverage as much as you can on that front. The other part of your question is about the Fed. A number of experts that I talk to on interest or on inflation think that we've kind of leveled out now on inflation. They don't see it running much hotter than this, which is good news, which means we may actually not have to see as many rate hikes as the Fed has talked about. We'll see on that. But again, we did a whole live stream just this week or last week. I'd encourage you to go listen to it and watch it, where we talked about the historical interest rates. And think about the 1990s, a boom time, right? Interest rates were much higher than they are now, even after these interest rates have gone up 5 to 5 or 6% right now, 5.5%, 5%. So in the 1990s, they were up at 7, 8%. And we had a boom in the United States. So, you know, think it's all in, keep it in perspective, right? That we had interest rates that were kept artificially low for really long at 2.5, 2.95%, ridiculously low. Like, I don't think we're going to get back to that type of an interest rate, maybe ever again, or anytime soon, at least. So think of, in many ways, think of this new interest rate era that we're in as more of like a baseline. Now, variable versus fixed. This is a great question. Again, if you can always convert. Most banks will allow, they have both products in-house. And if they don't, just take it across town and maybe convert it there. Go from a variable to a fixed interest rate. You can convert it. Now, what you do, now you say, well, yeah, but it's 6%. Do I want to lock it in at that higher interest rate? Well, maybe. And again, this is totally up to you. But what happens, then you've locked it in. And what happens if it goes much higher? Now you're protected. But if it goes lower, you can always redo the loan and get the lower rate. You're not set there permanently. But if you're in a variable rate, and you're not expecting it and suddenly explodes, right? Then you can be screwed. But I think another good point here too is that, you know, you've bought these for cash, so you're not over leveraged, which is a good position to be in. So it really comes down to your risk tolerance. Personally, again, if I'm getting the cash flow and I'm getting my net profit, my net numbers are making sense, I don't care if the interest rate's going to be a little bit higher. As long as I'm still cash flowing, as long as my net number is still solid, and by the way, I'm still in the buying phase, right? Buy, own, and cash flow, buying up the properties. I'm not really worried about the cash flow yet because I'm young or whatever, and I'm just focusing on adding to my net worth, right? And I'm buying it with other people's money, right? And I'm getting the tax benefits of all of this. And then I slowly start paying them off using the tenant's equity money. You know, they're paying, giving me equity, paying down the debt. Then they suddenly pop and they're free. Now I own them. Now I'm in the cash flow stage, right? Now I've got to start buying additional properties because now all of that cash flow is income. And so that's how you offset it, buy until you die. So there's a lot here, but I just want to maybe have you think in a different way about cash and keeping more of it in your own pocket. And then think about how you can lock in certain interest rates to protect yourself. And then you can always change them later if the interest rates drop, if you have a fixed interest rate loan. But it protects you against them jumping up much higher than you anticipated, and now you can't make your loan payments. So again, things to think about. All right, our next question comes to us from Frank.
Hey, good morning, Morris. love your channel, and I love the that idea when people can call in and ask you a question directly and you answer them from time to time. I've heard a recent, I would say maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, maybe, not too sure. You mentioned about somebody that you knew in New Jersey, and he owned maybe 1,500 to 2,000 properties. That's something. I mean, that's really, really awesome. And I was just wondering if you could talk more about that or make a quick video just on how certainly somebody can actually acquire that many properties. That's, I don't know. For me, that's great motivation, and, you know, does sound a little bit unreal, but you could share a few stories about them. That'd be great. Thank you, Morris. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you for the question. So this is a great question. I don't get this question a lot or ever really, but this idea like, hey, inspire me a little bit here. Teach me this guy's story. How did he do it? And I will. I'll tell you a little bit about him. He's a friend I met a number of years ago in when I was really kind of starting out wholesaling real estate in New Jersey. And I would find deals and bring them to him that he would then renovate and place tenants in there and so forth. So at the point, I think at the time that I met him, he had about 1,800 doors. So 1,800 doors. So he owned like a lot of 4-unit, 5 units, 2 units, 3 units, that sort of thing. All over Newark, New Jersey was his primary market that he loved. And he was expanding into different suburbs and so forth as well. So the way that he did it, he told me, we in fact were in the neighborhood. He took me to the neighborhood where he bought his first property, and it was a duplex. If I have good memory recall, it was a duplex and it needed a ton of work. And I think he said he bought it for about $80,000 at the time. And it was a total crap hole. I mean, it was like a shell. It needed a ton of work. He had to put something like $100,000 to $150,000 into the property. Okay. So now he's into this thing almost $200,000 to $220,000 after he renovated it. So he got a loan, right? I don't know if he had the $80,000 or not. I don't know where his funding at the time, but I do know that he got money from the bank to do the renovation, if I'm not mistaken. So he got money either from a private money lender or hard money lender or the bank, I don't recall. And then he renovated it, placed tenants in the property, and was cash flowing, and it looked great. He did a great job with the renovation. And then he refinanced it, and he pulled the money back out of it and rinsed and repeated. You know, this is buy, renovate, rinse, and repeat, right? This is the process of the Burr method. So that's what he did. And then he bought 4-unit, 5, you know, on and on and on over the many years. And that's where, and he was still a relatively young guy. Like, we would go out and talk cameras because we were both camera freaks and photography people. So we would go out to lunch, and he's like, great. Well, he's like, I don't even want to talk about real estate. Let's talk about cameras. and I'd be like, no, I want to talk about real estate. I want to pick your brain, you know? That's how he did it. And New Jersey's not easy. And so he didn't have the time to go out and find deals. He relied on wholesalers like myself, and he'd pay me a finder's fee of like $10,000 to bring him a deal. I'd bring him a deal, and he'd pay me for it after we closed on it, and he'd start the renovation, and he'd say, all right, find me another one. So yeah, he set up an entire property management office where he had people managing the properties. He turned it into a full-time job. And so, Frank, I kind of want to, like, it's a great inspirational story how he was able to do this, find contractors, do all the work, and build a business around it. And if that's something that you want to do, this is a great inspirational piece for you to think about. However, if you want to live a life creating financial freedom for yourself and passive income, you don't need 2,000 units. You know, you could do it with 8 or 10 or whatever your freedom number looks like, and build the life that you want. That's what we do at Morris Invest. Like, we help people who are busy, doctors and lawyers and other people. They don't want to be out finding contractors and doing that. They want to own great rental properties, and they want it fully managed by a great property management team, full service. So you kind of need to weigh those things, I think, right? Because it's a ton of work. I would go to these projects and see these guys renovating these properties in New Jersey and pulling the permits and getting oil tanks out of the ground, which are a huge environmental nightmare. Getting the asbestos piping from, you know, that they have to remove and get that remediated, and on and on and on and on. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot to think about. So it matters, you know, it's just a matter of like, what kind of life do you want to create for yourself? And I think it's a great question, but yes, absolutely, certainly inspiring. Today's episode is brought to you by iTrust Capital. By now, you've probably heard all about cryptocurrencies. You might have even already been investing in them. But did you know that you can invest in cryptocurrencies through your retirement account? That's right. With iTrust Capital, you can buy and sell cryptocurrencies from a crypto IRA and get all of the same tax advantages as a traditional IRA. iTrust Capital allows you to invest in over 24 of the most popular cryptocurrencies. And, you know, and unlike the stock market, you can buy and sell 24 hours a day. You don't have to wait for the market to be open. iTrust Capital's platform is easy to use, and it only takes a few minutes to create your account. Setting up an IRA is free, and iTrust has no account opening fees and no monthly fees. It's time to start taking control of your financial future with iTrust Capital. You can get all the tax benefits of a retirement account while investing in crypto. Sign up today and receive a $100 funding bonus when you open and fund your account. You get a $100 bonus just for opening your account. And remember, the account is free to open, so you're getting $100 just for free. So visit itrustcapital.com to start investing today. That's itrustcapital.com. Taxes and conditions apply. Fees apply. Cryptocurrencies are a speculative investment with risk of loss. iTrust Capital Incorporated does not provide legal, investment, or tax advice. Consult with a qualified legal, investment, or tax professional. All right, our next question from Patrick.
I want to put a line of credit into a whole life policy, borrow from the whole life policy to purchase property, use the rents to pay back the line of credit and the mortgage, then refinance to pay down the line of credit and use the rents then to pump back into the whole life policy. Is that a good idea? Thank you.
So it's a great question, Patrick. And now look, let me just first be totally transparent here. Natalie and I looked into doing this a number of years ago, and we never did. We never pulled the trigger on it because there were just some still outstanding questions that we never got a really good answer on. And we felt, you know, we feel like, okay, we're somewhat intelligent, you know, we're like 50% intelligent, you know, and we really struggled to wrap our brains around this concept. And then once we did, we read books on it. We interviewed a number of people on this subject. We went in a different direction. We just never pulled the trigger on it. I think some of the outstanding questions that we had about it were, you know, how long after setting up this plan do you have to wait until you can access it and start using it? You know, what are the costs and fees associated with setting it up? Why wouldn't you use other methods? You know, there's a lot of questions about it. We have some great resources here on the channel that I would encourage you to listen to. We have interviews with experts on this particular subject specifically. So we're going to link that up in the description below, so you can go and listen to those interviews where they lay it out much more in detail than I can. And I would encourage you to then check out their resources if that's something that you want to do. Again, we didn't do it. I'm not talking down about it at all. I know other people that have done it and use this as the creating their own bank. Essentially, you're basically creating your own insurance bank that you can pull from and use, which is fantastic if that's the structure that you want to go with. So again, I do know that people use it to great effect. I personally have not done it, so I can't be a testimonial for how good it is. Okay. But write down all of your questions as you're going to go through this process. Like, write down all of your questions, ask to know all of the fees. Are there any hidden fees associated with these things? And you know how insurance can be tricky, right? Make sure you just have full transparency if this is the financial vehicle that you use to acquire rental properties. In the end, I used home equity lines of credit. That was my favorite vehicle. It enabled me the flexibility and ease of use. I didn't have to pay a big thing. I didn't have to wait for a timeline before I could access it. I was able to use it immediately, and I was able to rinse and repeat and buy additional properties. That's how I used it. So again, check out the resources that we have here in the description of this video and on this podcast. Hopefully you get the answers you seek there, and if it's the right fit for you. And it sounds like it is. Thank you, everyone. for subscribing to the channel, becoming a member here. It's been great to have all of you grow with us. Please go over to our website. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail question, you can do so by going to morrisinvest.com, and there's a microphone button on the side of the screen. Just click that. And you can leave us a 30-second voicemail question about anything that's on your mind, whether it's financing, real estate, whatever it is, and we will listen to it here. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build and maintain your wealth. We'll see you next time.